Amid fears of the novel coronavirus, companies have pulled out of major gaming events, one of which prompted the city's mayor to beg a tech giant to reconsider. Tonight is February 23rd, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
We got a hype train going on in Twitch. Never seen that before. That's kind of cool. Let's keep the hype going. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a hype train edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Welcome. If you are available on Sunday nights and want to join us live, you go over to twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where we record the shows every Sunday night, starting at 8, and then Orange Silence Radio after me. And yes, they are back tonight. So Rob, I guess, is feeling better. It's great. And he says that he prefers the Jim Sally train, but a hype train ain't bad. So we usually, at the end of the show, we'll read people who have subscribed or given bits. We actually had a couple people report their resubscription for the month, and it started a hype train. So apparently we have 2 minutes, 40 seconds to get somebody else to go to a level 2 hype train, somebody who can, subscribe or throw some bits or whatever. But you don't have to. The podcast is free. But if you are a subscriber on our Twitch channel, you get to see all of these videos. We archive all of the shows that we do here at VOG Network, so you can go back and see them. But only if you subscribe, which if you have Amazon Prime, you have a free Twitch subscription every month. You can throw that to us. And that way you're not paying any more than you already have been. So that's if you're here on Sunday nights. And if you're not here on Sunday nights, that's perfectly fine. The podcast, I love all the podcast listeners as well. Y'all are just as important, if not more, than our live audience. But I love the live audience. I love both of them. So you can join us during the week on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, or you can comment on an episode over at vognetwork.com once the podcast episode goes up. So let's go ahead and get in on things. There's a huge topic we're going to talk about, but I'm going to actually talk about some other stuff a little bit first, including some viewer comments from previous episodes. So we allow people to who can't be here on Sunday nights because it is a Sunday night. You have other things to do. You have families. You've got other plans. I get it. Trust me. Totally get it. So we allow them to comment during the week, and we've gotten a couple of these. So on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord, Redertainment wanted to chime in about our price, the price discussion we were having last week. So last week we talked about how Sony is not releasing the price of the PlayStation 5 yet, or they haven't even said it, because they're waiting on Microsoft to announce what they're going to price the Xbox Series X at. Redertainment actually says there's another factor at play here as to why Sony and Microsoft have yet to announce firm details about release date and price of their upcoming consoles. The release date's going to be the second weekend in November. If I was betting on it, I would. It's going to be that second weekend of November is going to be when the release date. They haven't announced it, but that's when it's going to be. Price, they haven't said yet. That factor is supply concerns. This week, Apple warned its investors that business will be down due to concerns about iPhone supply shortages. These concerns were created by the ongoing novel coronavirus outbreak. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. If Apple is having these supply concerns, it stands to reason that Sony and Microsoft would be having these concerns as well. Yes, it's already kind of hit that we've gotten... It's already hit that we've seen this in game production. There's some Switch cartridges that are going to be delayed. I think Outer Worlds is being delayed because they can't get the cartridges in. Because there's a lot of issues with getting product out of China as well as people to travel the world. So that is a very valid concern with the release date. So maybe I shouldn't put money on that second weekend of November. I can tell you in the boardroom, second weekend of November is when they want to have it come out, because that's when they've always done it. Except for Nintendo. Nintendo chooses March. So he said that, and then E3VL commented on FogNetwork.com saying, Sony waiting for Microsoft to reveal price first. Are they trying to pull another E3 2013 with lower price reveal? I think what they were going with the price is, if Microsoft was pricing the Xbox Series X at $499, and the reason we're having this conversation is because it's come out that it's going to cost $450 for Sony to make a PlayStation 5, and they like to not sell consoles at a loss. So they may wait for the Xbox Series X. If Microsoft announces a $499 price point, Sony will be like, woo, and they'll also announce a $499 price point. Which I hate using the term price point, because that's a marketing term and not a retail term, but I'll use it in this sense because that's the manufactured suggested retail price. But if Microsoft comes out and says it's going to be $399, then Sony's going to have a really hard decision. Are they going to sell them for a loss at $399, or are they going to sell for a little bit of a loss and go $429, or sell it out cost by saying it's going to be $450. That's why they're waiting on Microsoft, is because they need to be competitive with Microsoft, and they can't announce $499 just to have Microsoft undercut them later and pull a Sony E3 2013 and have a lower price reveal. So that's, I think, where that whole decision making is coming from. And then with the manufacturing supply, we do not here in America have the infrastructure to take over a lot of the high-tech manufacturing that's currently done in China, or even in Mexico, because Mexico has a lot as well. We don't yet have that infrastructure, and it doesn't build itself overnight. And so that's why we're still having to deal with what's going on in China. E3VL did comment on a couple of other topics. He was talking about the Sonic movie, because we talked a little bit about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which I have not seen it, and I will state that I'm basically just going to let people enjoy things. That's what I'm going to do. I haven't seen it. I'm biased against it just because I got overexposed to all the behind-the-scenes featurettes over the last year. And so I'm going to go in hating it. But other people have seen it that aren't me, and so I will read what they have to say. E3VL said, the Sonic movie was okay. Probably won't be one of my top movies of the year, but I had a fun time. Which is really all that you should want from a movie. If you go in and you had a fun time, it's awesome. And he says, I always see Jeff Keighley as a host of E3. Something must be really off if he's not attending this year. So we talked about last week about how Jeff Keighley is not heading up the E3 Coliseum. He's not even doing a Games Critic tour that leads up to E3. And he kind of even said this is the first time in 25 years he hasn't been doing anything with relation to E3, which means I'm even asking if he's attending, because I know he didn't work with E3 25 years ago. He was a young reporter. He was just there as a journalist, a rookie green journalist. So he wasn't working with E3 in an official capacity for all 25 years. And he said, this is going to be the first time in 25 years I'm not going to have anything to do with E3. And I'm like, so are you staying home? Are you going to watch streams of it? Which he probably doesn't need to. And then he says, pulling content from a streaming service is a shame. That's why I purchased Blu-ray instead of digital download from Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Vudu, iTunes, etc. Because we also talked about how gaming companies are pulling their titles off of streaming services. Because now we're getting gaming streaming service where you stream your games. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how NVIDIA GeForce Now launched, $5 a month Or if you don't want to pay $5 a month, you get like 1 hour at a time and stuff. You can still do it for free. But it syncs with your existing library, your existing Steam library, your existing Epic Games library, your existing Battle.net library. And then last week, Activision Blizzard said, haha, just kidding, your Battle.net library, no, no. You can't play any of our games from your Battle.net library on NVIDIA GeForce Now. And then this week, Bethesda said, oh, yeah, just kidding. You can't play any of our games except for one. So this week, NVIDIA released, they announced, according to Gamasutra, that Bethesda Softworks is pulling most of its games from NVIDIA's cloud-based game streaming service, GeForce Now, marking the second major publisher to opt out of the service since it launched earlier this month. So who's it going to be next week? Square Enix? NVIDIA notes that the removal only affects Bethesda games, most Bethesda games, with the exception of Wolfenstein Youngblood, which will remain playable through the service. The Breakman says, ugh, these game companies are starting to play dirty. Don't spend all your money on games because of NVIDIA GeForce Now, because as we're seeing, a lot of publishers are pulling their stuff back. It is very possible, as was noted last week, that when a company pulls their titles off of a streaming service, and we're basically going off the movie and television streaming services right now because we have several years of that history, that if a company pulls all of its stuff off of, like, Netflix, it means they're going to start their own streaming service. So I wonder, Bethesda, with their big deep pockets, they're going to try a streaming service of their own. We kind of theorized that maybe Activision Blizzard was going to be starting their own streaming service for their games. Bethesda could do the same thing. I mean, Bethesda claims to have invented VR because John Carmack was working on VR before he left id Software. So they may be thinking, hey, we're big enough. We can have our own streaming service and people can pay us several bucks a month to play our titles. The Breakman says there are too many independent streaming services to keep up. You can also say on the cable side, we've been asking for a la carte pricing for cable instead of paying one big, huge chunk for a bunch of channels we don't want. And now that's exactly what we have, is we have a la carte pricing for that. And I guess people are going to want, the gaming industry sees that as well, is that they're going to have a la carte pricing. So you don't get one service that you can get all your games on. If you want to play Bethesda games, you pay this $5 a month. If you play Activision games, you pay this $5 a month, which is probably better for the consumer than, oh, if you pay $30 a month, you get all these games, most of which you're never going to play. Questbuster says Bethesda ditched Steam to sell Fallout 76 on their service, though that probably wasn't the best game to do with it. And incidentally, Fallout 76 is coming to Steam soonish with the new NPC DLC, which I haven't really been keeping up with. And SJ Where I'm At does point out that the next Elder Scrolls will be exclusive to the Bethesda service or a timed exclusive. They're trying to Half-Life that up, aren't they? So I actually saw there was a post on the NVIDIA forums about this, and one of the first comments on there, which I don't know is actually true. They're probably just trolling, but they don't have a high-end computer. But what they did is they went to Steam. Once NVIDIA GeForce Now came out and it worked for them, they went to Steam and they bought Bethesda games on Steam and they bought Activision Blizzard games, and now they can't play them anymore and they don't have a computer to play them. They still own the games, but now they're just sitting in their Steam account and they bought it just because of NVIDIA GeForce Now and they feel robbed. The Breakman says about Fallout 76, LOL, it's sad that NPCs are DLC. I never played Fallout 76, so I can't really talk about it. I like single-player games for whatever reason. It's because I'm weird. So the big story that I want to talk about this week, and it actually stems from a conversation I had with another gaming journalist on Facebook, and he does know I'm kind of referencing this conversation, and we butt heads on this. And we have very different ideas of what this means, but it's about the novel coronavirus. So I'm not going to call it the coronavirus because all variations of the flu are coronaviruses. That's more of a generic term. But the novel coronavirus is the one that came out that basically had an outbreak in the Wuhan region of China. The World Health Organization has called it COVID-19, which is how I am referencing it. But it's the novel coronavirus. And because of the novel coronavirus existing, this has made a lot of companies decide that they are going to be better safe than sorry. And they are pulling out of previously scheduled events, which has had a lot of cascading effects in the industry at those events and even in those cities where these events are being held. And the first one that we're going to talk about is Sony pulling out of PAX East. So Sony was going to be taking a bunch of stuff to PAX East. It was going to be the first place anybody could play Last of Us Part II. They were going to have Final Fantasy VII Remake playable on the floor. They had a lot of big things planned. And they announced this week that due to fears over the novel coronavirus, they are not showing up. They are advising their employees not to go. They're not taking anything. They have given back the booth space and all that stuff. The reason that they're doing this is because they're fearful and they're scared. So I looked these stats up on Friday night. So these stats have probably changed over the weekend. But as of Friday, the 21st, there have been 75,000 cases of the novel coronavirus worldwide. 74,185 of those have been on the Chinese mainland. Of those that were not on the Chinese mainland, 34 of them have been Americans. Of those 34, 21 of those were on the cruise ship, the Diamond Princess cruise ship, that got quarantined. So that leaves 13. So there are 13 confirmed cases. One of those cases was in Boston, Massachusetts. One. Because he visited family in Wuhan and came back. Because that one person in the same city as PAX East has been quarantined, he didn't die. He's getting treated. Because that one person is in Boston. Sony's like, we're out. We're done. We're not going. This has actually led to a response from the city. WCVB, one of the television stations of Boston, reports that the mayor of Boston has formally requested the Sony Corporation to reconsider its decision to pull out of an upcoming gaming showcase. Mayor Marty Walsh sent a letter to Kenichiro Yoshida, Sony's president and chief executive officer, Friday, after the entertainment giant announced Wednesday that it would be canceling its appearance at PAX East while citing fears about exposure to COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. The company officials wrote in a statement on Wednesday, this is Sony, quote, "We felt this was the safest option as the situation is changing daily. We are disappointed to cancel our participation in this event, but the health and safety of our global workforce is our highest concern," unquote. Remember, one person in Boston had it. In his letter, Walsh said the risk of contracting the coronavirus, which they just called it the coronavirus, but it's the novel coronavirus in Boston and Massachusetts, remains extremely low and that officials have no reason to believe that anyone should cancel their plans to visit the city. Walsh said in his letter, quote, "As a large international company, you have an opportunity to set a good example. As a leader in technology, you can show that you are motivated by facts, not fear. As a leader in gaming and culture, you can show that you believe in connection, not isolation," unquote. And PAX East said in a statement, quote, "While we are saddened that Sony will no longer have a presence at PAX East 2020, we look forward to welcoming our friends at Sony at future PAX events and are focused on making PAX East 2020 a successful and enjoyable event for all attendees and exhibitors," unquote. One person in Boston, most powerful person in Boston, people are staying away because of one person. SJ Runner Matt points out, he was contained. He said there was a case of virus in Boston a few weeks ago, but it was contained. The fear is stemming from the Boston's Chinatown not being far from the PAX East location. Regardless, it's all from baseless fear. Yes, that's actually going on as well, is that the Chinatown regions of like New York and San Francisco and stuff, they're empty. And even Chinese restaurants that have like 6 month long waiting lists for reservations for tables, people are canceling their reservations just because they're Chinese. Don't do that, folks. Guess what? I went to a Chinese restaurant Friday night. I actually went, sat down, had Chinese food at a Chinese restaurant served by U.S. people in the U.S. who are from China. I'm right here. I'm fine. The Breakman says the end is nigh. Pull the kids out of school, call into work, raid the grocery store for milk and bread. It's not snowing. It's just the flu. Rob Roberts said, I sort of thought it would be the travel from Asia being the issue, not so much the exposure of the random traveler in Boston, but going through those airports in Asia to make connections. I know for my cruise coming up, I'm so jealous. You can't board if you've been to China, Hong Kong, and I think Taiwan in the last 15 days, which I get that, but this is Sony America. They employ local people to run their booths. And I know this from experience because I have friends who worked when E3 was in Atlanta. I have three friends who literally worked for Sony in Sony's booth. They hire temporary workers from Boston to run their booth. Their booth is built by union members in Boston. They're using things that are probably already in Boston right now. Their booth is probably there. And Sony is sending their representatives from San Francisco to run the booth. SJ Runner Matt says, I was in Disney World this past week. So many people, white people, had face masks on thinking they were going to get it. There's no confirmed cases in Orlando. There's no confirmed cases in Florida. I think it's like 7 in California, 1 in Massachusetts, and I think like 1 in Texas or something like that. And that's it. Like, it's not here in the southeast where I'm in. I'm in Atlanta. And the Breakman points out, meanwhile, it's estimated this flu season will kill between 16,000 and 41,000. And that's the other thing is that in the past, companies haven't pulled out because of this. E3 2002, Sony was there. You want to know what else was going on in 2002? SARS. That's when the SARS outbreak happened in China. E3 had no problem being there. Hey, Sony was at CES in January. They had no problem being at CES in January. That was in Las Vegas. Rob Roberts says there's one confirmed case in Sacramento. Well, you guys, maybe OLR needs to be canceled again. No, you should not cancel OLR. But you never know. Better safe than sorry. So I actually believe in this case with Sony, this is not a reason. This is an excuse. Sony, if they had stuff to show, they would be there. Just like how Sony had stuff to show at the Consumer Electronics Show. They had stuff to show there, and so they showed up. But here, there's so many questions about the PS5 that they don't want to talk about. Maybe, I don't know if The Last of Us Part 2's demo is ready. So maybe this is a convenient excuse not to show it. They had the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo to show. Maybe that's not completely ready. Maybe there's something. And it's so much easier to pull out and say, oh, we're afraid we're going to get the flu. I think this is an excuse, not a reason. Because this doesn't just affect them. And I shorten his name to Pele because I don't want to try to pronounce the whole name because I will totally get it wrong and I apologize. But he says, the world is fast approaching a tipping point in the spread of the novel coronavirus, according to experts who warned that the disease is outpacing efforts to contain it after major outbreaks forced Italy and Iran to introduce stringent internal travel restrictions and South Korea's president placed the country on red alert, according to The Guardian. So why not cancel everything? Why are we still playing football, both American and European football? Why are we still having You know, why is our government officials still campaigning and holding rallies? There was a conference in Barcelona, the mobile World Expo or the World Mobile Convention or something in Barcelona. They shut down. But considering that, I believe it or not, I actually thought about like looking up how to pronounce this company. Is it Huawei or something? H-U-I-W-E-I. It is the largest cell phone manufacturer in China, and they are releasing phones around the world now. You can actually get them here. I have literally never heard anybody say their name. I've only seen it read. So them not going to Barcelona, I can understand how a lot of the mobile chip manufacturers being from China, not being able to leave China because they're trying to contain this, I can understand that closing down that conference, which was told to me as a reason why better safe than sorry. But not many Chinese people come to PAX East. There are some Chinese companies that have instead sent their American representatives to go to PAX East and to go to GDC. We're going to talk about it in a second. Because their employees from China can't make the trip. But nobody from overseas from Sony needs to go to PAX East. As Sharon and Matt says, they did cancel a bunch of soccer events for the Series A, mostly ones in Italy. But if we're better safe than sorry, why not cancel everything in the U.S.? And Phoenix 7726 says, the novel coronavirus is about as virulent as a common flu. It's nasty, but not as dangerous as many seem to think. You know, we had it at Dragon Con. One of the host hotels of Dragon Con was shut down for a month because there was an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease a month before Dragon Con. I still went. Rob still went. We probably drank a lot of alcohol, and that's probably how we didn't get Legionnaires' disease. But nobody actually came home with Legionnaires' disease. So Phoenix 7726 says it's like Huawei is how it's pronounced. So I will take your. He tried to phonetically spell it out, so I thank you for that. I really should have like gone and been like, "Hey Google, how to pronounce this word?" Because I really should know, because they're one of like the largest cell phone manufacturers in the world. Yeah, Phoenix 7726 says, "Now that is nasty, Legionnaires." I mean, and yes, I'm sure some people wore hazmat suits as cosplay, but nobody actually got it there. But Sony's not the only one to do this. Because Square Enix has also pulled out of PAX East for the same reason. Square Enix actually posted on Final Fantasy XIV. As the community may be aware, COVID-19, also known as the novel coronavirus, is spreading within the East Asia region. Taking into consideration the current situation within the region, sadly, Square Enix has decided to cancel the PAX East attendance of staff who will be traveling from the Japan offices. This difficult decision was based on our desire to prevent any potential spread of the virus and to prioritize the health and safety of our team and fans. Since our team will not be in attendance, we are planning to scale down our planned activities. So the panel session about the artwork of Final Fantasy XIV is canceled due to the absence of the staff members who were scheduled to attend. But they will be hosting a live stream from Japan in English and Japanese so that our fans can view on the Twitch channel. So on Saturday, February 29th at 8 o'clock Eastern, they're going to show that on Twitch. A developer signing sessions and photo ops, they're going to be canceled that were scheduled to take place, and the fan gathering, they're canceling the planned PAX East fan gathering event slated for Friday, which honestly, I think the fans can still gather. It just won't have anybody from Square Enix there. Square Enix will still host the Final Fantasy XIV booth on the show floor, and we hope you'll take part and enjoy the Ruby Weapon Battle Challenge, the new player experience, and photo opportunities. Phoenix 7726 says this is paranoia. Honestly, I would think that if you're in Japan, you'd probably want to get as far away from novel coronavirus as possible. And how further can you get than Boston, Massachusetts, other than the fact that there's one person in Boston that had it? S.J. Runner Matt said, if I booked travel, fought for a hotel room in the area, spent tons of money on passes for the weekend, for many of the big names to drop out, I would be pissed. I actually heard a corollary on that on the next story, because PAX East is not the only one. Game Developer Conference is also getting hit. As GamesIndustry.biz reports that PlayStation and Facebook Gaming / Oculus will not be attending this year's Game Developers Conference due to concerns about the novel coronavirus COVID-19. It follows a series of canceled or postponed video game events plus console manufacturing disruption caused by the outbreak. The virus has infected over 75,700 people so far, killing 2,130. The majority of the cases have been in China, with just over 1,000 cases reported in other countries, including 15 in the U.S. So this is a later article than the numbers I had, so apparently we've had two more cases since the original 13, still only one in Boston. Facebook says that it's still planning to make announcements at GDC around its Oculus business, but will now do that via digital formats with video, online Q&As, and more. The firm says it's removing its booth footprint and advising all employees to refrain from traveling to the show, even if they live in San Francisco. Don't go to Moscone Center. It might be near a Chinatown. I don't know. They didn't say that. Facebook says, quote, out of concern for the health and safety of our employees, our dev partners in the GDC community, Facebook will not be attending this year's Game Developer Conference due to the evolving public health risk related to COVID-19. We still plan to share the exciting announcements we had planned for the show through videos, online Q&As, and more, and we'll plan to host GDC partner meetings remotely in the coming weeks. We continue to collaborate with UBM, GDC's parent company, and our partners, and thank them for their efforts, unquote. And then GamesIndustry.biz got a statement from Sony saying, quote, we have made the difficult decision to cancel our participation in Game Developers Conference due to increasing concerns related to COVID-19. We felt this was the best option as the situation related to the virus and global travel restrictions are changing daily. We are disappointed to cancel our participation, but the health and safety of our global workforce is of our highest concern. We look forward to participating in GDC in the future, unquote. China-based exhibitors have also either had to cancel their presence at GDC or send North American staff to run their booths. GDC said last week that this has impacted around 10 of the 550 companies participating at the show. Like most event organizers, GDC are following government guidelines and protocols around the situation. It is said that it's enhancing its sanitation procedures, including adding more hand sanitizer stations, using disinfecting electrostatic sprayers in high-traffic areas, and cleaning the facilities more frequently. GDC organizers UBM is also working with the San Francisco Travel Association to ensure hotels are similarly expanding their hygiene protocols. So there is another side of this that I've seen this on Twitter. So obviously, you know, it's true. It may not be. But the reality is that a lot of times at these events, Sony will offer space for a game, a PS4 or PS5 game, to show off their game. Oculus will offer space for a VR developer to showcase their game in their booth. In the Sony booth, you will have, like, they'll show maybe an indie game, but sometimes a bigger known game that's on the PS5 or PS4. Maybe a PS4 exclusive, I don't know. But it could be an indie game, and they're showing it off on the PS4. So they offer the space in the booth. Same with Oculus. Now, that stand is usually manned by somebody on the development team, a designer or something, or maybe a PR person, marketing person, what have you. Sony offers the space. The developer can come in, show off their game, and not have to buy a booth. It is offered by Sony. Well, these cancellations by Sony and Oculus out of GDC came one day after the last day you could get a refund on your hotel. So now these maybe independent game developers, maybe just, you know, game developers that were planning on sending people to the show, and maybe they were doing this at PAX as well, I don't know. But at GDC, these people that were coming to present their stuff in the Oculus booth or in the Sony booth, now they have no place and probably don't even have a badge in, because they probably got an exhibitor badge from Sony or from Facebook to be able to get into the show. So they went and booked their flights and booked their hotel, and this came out the day after you could cancel your reservation through GDC housing. So now they have no way in the show. They have no reason to be there, because Oculus is actually telling all of their partners to not travel to San Francisco. This is hurting them in the wallet, because now, like, if they're not going to show their game, why should they go? They could probably spend that money paying their people to finish their game because they're probably very far in development, or, you know, and they're like in the last crunch time. So that's the other side of this, is that people were already traveling there, and it's not that they're not, you know, oh, the big players aren't going to be there. What am I going to do? These are people that were going to probably work in that booth and show off their game to the world. That's gone now, because Sony and Oculus have both given up their booth space. They have returned it to GDC. Sony has returned their booth space to PAX, so now it's going to be a big empty area unless that somebody fills that space or takes a portion of it for their own thing. Phoenix 7726 says, Facebook gaming is still a thing. Color me shocked. Really, Facebook gaming is Oculus. That is Facebook gaming right now. It is. And they've got like a streaming service. They're trying to compete with Twitch, which they're not really going to be able to. But really, it's Oculus. That is Facebook gaming. They're now, Oculus isn't really its own thing. Now it's Oculus from Facebook. And so when they go to events, they now attend as Facebook gaming with Oculus hardware. Phoenix 7726 says, I wonder if this is just an excuse for a lot of corporations to start pulling out of E3. Well, I mean, Sony already pulled out of E3. They were already not showing up. I've had a conversation with people who basically are saying better safe than sorry. And I'm like, yes, but it's paranoia. He's like, how is being better safe than sorry paranoia? And this is pretty refusing to go somewhere because one person got that variation of the flu in that city is pretty much a textbook example of paranoia. You are more likely to die in a car wreck in your Uber, Lyft, taxi cab, rental car, or mass transit going from Logan International Airport to the Boston Convention Center. You're more likely to die in a car wreck in that span of time than you are from contracting COVID-19. Yet nobody cancels plans because they're worried they might die on the way there in a car. So that's why I consider this is an excuse, not a reason. I can kind of forgive Square Enix a little bit because they're really just not sending their Japanese staff, but they didn't pull out entirely. They're going to have their North American staff run the booth and let you see all the new stuff. You're just not going to get to meet the people. And I can kind of understand that because it may actually be hard for them to get out of Japan. But Sony has a large North American arm. And when I've seen Sony at PAX before, it was all Americans that were in there. It was Americans either from Sony's American arm or they were Boston locals who had a temp job working the booth over the weekend. Swang Tong says, but how many haven't been diagnosed? If this virus isn't much more than a flu, well, then why go to the doctor? Just a random thought. It's a different, more aggressive strain of the flu. And the thing is, there's no vaccine for it yet. Like, there's no vaccine for this strain yet, which is why people are being overly cautious. It's way more fatal than the regular flu. Just like I don't cancel plans because war might break out in the Middle East, I don't think that this is a reason to avoid cities and events. I just don't. So that's why there's another reason here. Maybe Oculus is about, you know, worried that they're going to have some bad things happen, and they don't want to deal with it. They may be worried because in order to use Oculus equipment, you have to put things on your face. And so what if somebody who has the novel coronavirus wears an Oculus Rift and then the next person wears the Oculus Rift and they get it, even though they actually sanitize the headset after each person uses it? That may be why they're not showing up. We're going to take a quick music break. I'm going to rest my voice for a little bit. We don't actually play the music breaks on the podcast, by the way. So if you hear this on the podcast and you're like, so where's the music? It's just a couple scratches. It's because this is to rest my voice and you don't really need to hear it. And I actually don't know if I have the rights to put this out on the podcast. I have the rights to stream the music that I play, but not necessarily the rights to distribute it in MP3 form. So I hope you understand. So we're going to take a quick music break here locally, and then if anybody wants to call in about this topic, you can. And we'll continue talking about stuff like this. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
I wanna be
I've been
the
chosen
very best, like no one ever was.
By the actual voice of Ash Ketchum. That was a Kickstarter reward. That's right, I used a Kickstarter reward as a bumper. Don't sue me, please, because I think that was only for private playing. But whatever, we're all friends, we're all family here, right? If you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to be a famous voice actor. All you got to do is send me either an MP3 of just your voice or a video of you and just your voice so I can do other background stuff to it. You can contact me by email, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can contact me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord is how you get the invite in there. Usually at this point, I take some calls. I'm looking, so the way it works usually is that we have a green room voice chat channel. If you sit in the green room voice chat channel during the music break, I know you want to get on the air, and so I pull you into a different room, and it works out that way. We used to use Skype. Skype doesn't really work for me all that well, we learned, especially when I'm streaming. It works great when I'm not streaming, but somehow, like, when I'm streaming and I have, like, Adobe Audition recording over here and Open Broadcaster software over here recording, that messes with Skype and you can't hear me anymore. But if I don't have that stuff on, Skype sounds great, but it doesn't work anymore. So we use Discord's voice chat for all that, and it works well if people are wanted to participate. I will say, since nobody's in there, we are going to talk to OLR in just a second, but I am believe it or not, I actually use something that probably a lot of people here don't use all that much. But I still have, ladies and gentlemen, my Gamefly account. So the game that I am renting right now, and the reason I still have Gamefly is because there's games I want to try but not necessarily pay $60 for. And I don't want the digital version, so I don't pay that. So right now I am actually renting I'm actually renting a Switch cartridge on it right now, which they still put in the CD things. So you pull it out and you're like, "Okay, I hope the cartridge is in here because it's a really tiny cartridge." But I'm playing and I got to make sure I read this right because it's one of those long Japanese names. Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore. So this is the Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami Tensei game. It is a it's a turn-based strategy that's styled like a Shin Megami Tensei game, styled like a Persona game, but it has some Fire Emblem characters and some Fire Emblem music in it as well. I've been playing it, and I enjoy it. However, it is showing me exactly why I turn away from games that I really enjoy playing, like Persona. Basically, the Atlas games. There is one game mechanic that Atlas does that offsets the fact that they've got an easy difficulty, and then if you die, there's a friendly difficulty that makes it even easier if you die once. But there's one game mechanic that I absolutely hate, and Atlas always does this, where if you're in a dungeon and you're doing one of these dungeon crawlers, suddenly a really high-level enemy will show up and kill you. They do it all the time. They're called Savage Encounters in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, where no matter what level you are, they are higher level. And they're easier if you are a certain set of levels at a certain level area than if you're at an early level. So basically, like, if you are between levels 20 and 24, the enemies are level 27. So if you see them and you're level 20, then they're 7 levels higher. They're going to kill you. They're going to one-shot you. If you see them when you're level 24, they're a little bit easier to handle. They do this all the time. There's, like, there's death that shows up in Persona games if you stay on a floor for too long. So, like, if you're exploring. If you stay on a floor for too long, death starts chasing after you, and if he catches up to you, you're dead. I hate this mechanic. It is the reason I give up on Persona games, even though I enjoy the rest of the game so much, and I am enjoying this game so much. Thankfully, it has a save anywhere feature. There's no autosave, so people have run into this mechanic and then lost 2 hours worth of progress. No, it lets you save whenever you want, but now I am literally saving after every single battle. Questbus says, I've played a few RPGs that let you wander around and encounter monsters that are like 50 levels higher or something like that. Fun times. I can get it if they're like gated in an area. But this is like, I was in the first, or the really the second dungeon. Boom, a savage encounter showed up, wiped my party. And I was like 2 hours into the game. And it's like, oh, by the way, you might want to like think about running away from these things. Phoenix7726 says, there is a way to cheese this mechanic to kill death easily and get a lot of XP. I actually did kill a savage encounter here in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and I did get a lot out of it. But that was because my entire party was like level 14, and so they were level 17, and that actually is manageable. But if I was like level, but once you hit level 15, then they become level 22 because it scales with you. So it's not fun. And so now I am literally like going through and saving after every battle and trying to run away when they do come after me. And if you run away, they just reappear. And so now I'm at a point where like every 2 minutes there's a savage encounter. And it's good I'm game flying it because I may send it back soon. Questbus says, what I hate is bad scaling in RPGs. I'm all in on the power fantasy and steamrolling mobs with an overpowered party. Yes, I'd love to do that. And you can do that in this game. You can steamroll and overpower and everything. They even give you a special dungeon where you can farm XP. It was one of the DLCs on the Wii U version that is part of the base game now on the Switch, because this is the encore. This is the re-release. But these mobs still spawn even higher than that. So it's to prevent you from going through and steamrolling things, I guess. There was another question. So if you are on Twitch and you see this, everybody's like, where did you get the yarn Baby Yoda in the back? So I actually have this little crocheted Baby Yoda. My wife made it. And it's actually from an official Yoda pattern that she made a couple of changes to. So she made the ears a little bit higher, and she actually used some, I think it's like pink makeup or something to make the ears pink. The hands have three fingers, so they can so he can do the voice and stuff. So yeah, so where did I get it? My wife made it for me. She made me a Baby Yoda, and so it sits there on the camera so people can see it. Fitrin to say says, OMG Cube, I will buy one if she wants to make another. Funny you should say that. That is something we're thinking about doing. Or at least making them for giveaways of some sort. We're not sure yet. And Hasbro has announced that they're doing a new a Baby Yoda toy. It's an animatronic toy. It actually has sounds and it moves. And if you pat its head, it does force stuff. And if you lay it down, it falls asleep. Yeah, I pre-ordered one. So we're going to have a new edition. It comes in 9 months. So, I mean, that's going to be great. I pre-ordered it now. It'll get here in 9 months, just like a real baby. It's going to be great. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what's going on with them and what they're going to be talking about tonight now that they're back for just a little bit. I'm so glad to see them. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm glad that you... How are you feeling? Because last we all heard, you were seeking medical advice from professionals, i.e. not Dr. Google. How are you doing?
I appreciate you being a little vague on that, but I'll straight up say I was in the ER while you were doing this show last week. Not...
Excuse me. Rob came down with bubonic plague. There was a rat that just... was on
no not that I necessarily needed to be in the ER. This was a little bit of, you know, the healthcare system in the States at work. Long story short, I'm going to spare you the details. Basically, the lab would not do the strep test, and because there is no affiliated urgent care that was open, they were like, well, you can just go to the ER. So that's where I was when you were doing this show last week.
Yeah, so it was strep, I guess, is what you have?
It was confirmed that I had strep. And what unfortunately exacerbated everything, I didn't realize that I had strep. I thought I had something else going on. And I hosted shows Friday and Saturday night. And although I did try to dial it back a little bit, you know, usually I'm very, very loud and projected. I did try to dial it back because I did have a microphone. It wasn't enough. And by Sunday, it was pretty gnarly. And obviously, strep is something that's hugely contagious. So it wouldn't have been fair to Dark Soccer or Loki, right, to try to do the show last week. But here I am 5 days of antibiotics later, and you're not contagious anymore after 24 hours. Do I feel 100%? I'd say maybe about 95. I still have like a little scratchy in my throat, but it's not going to be enough to stop me from tonight, especially with just the scheduling. We're already not going to be here the next 2 weeks live. So yeah. If you go ahead.
One little thing just to point out to people making jokes. The strep is bacterial. Uh-huh. Therefore, something that's curable with antibiotics.
Yeah.
For the ones making a joke about coronavirus, number one, it is a virus. You have to treat it with antivirals. And number two, the common cold is a coronavirus. Please be more specific.
I knew this was coming. That's why, Bobby. Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead. I was going to say, Bobby's been calling it on his show novel coronavirus, which has kind of been used. And also on the little sidebar, it's been saying COVID-19, which I believe is the laboratory name for it.
I just have to remember myself not to say Corvid because crows are freaking awesome.
But no, obviously what I'm going through has nothing to do with any of that. Yeah. That would be silly. Although I am going on a cruise next week. So talking about like the timing of everything. I made some comments when you were talking about the subject in regards to, PAX East and all that, is that, for the cruise, they have sent out a bulletin that's like, if you've been to China, Thailand or Hong Kong, I believe. Sorry, I hope I'm not misstating what countries, but this is the only international travel I'm going to get to do this year, so I didn't really read it carefully. But if you've been to those countries in the last 15 days, you cannot go on this cruise. But I'm not worried. We're going to the Caribbean. It's not like one cruise ship we're hearing about, and there's probably 800 cruise ships, U.S. and Canada based alone.
And that one cruise ship was in China.
I just thought of the biggest missed opportunity is to have a cruise of all drag queens in the Caribbean and have at least one of them lip sync to Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen.
They used to have the Al and Chuck Travel, but anyway, we'll not.
There are
bring
so
down Bobby
many.
Show with that talk. Yeah.
No, see, here's the thing. I love cruises, so there are so many themed cruises out there. I'm surprised.
So. And as I think you've mentioned on your show, and we've certainly said a plenty on OLR, this is the Star Trek cruise that I'm going on. You can actually see it at StarTrekTheCruise.com. That is the one I'm going on. Our pals here at the Voice Geeks Network, I know they haven't done a show in a while. I need to really poke them to come back because, they've got Picard to talk about now, which has been huge. But the starboard power coupling. So hopefully this will be the creative jumpstart they need to get back on track. But the folks over there, so Captain Matt, Dr. Ken, if you've ever listened to that show, they are both going on this cruise and we're the ones that were like, you have to go. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. I've always wanted to go, so I'm going to go.
Are you guys going to record an episode on the boat?
Never say never, but I'm not really because I'm trying to pack everything else. I'm not really thinking about packing tech gear, but you can always record something on your phone.
Yeah.
They could call it the away mission.
Well, there's like a 99% chance there's already some podcast called the away mission. I don't even have to Google that.
But they could call an episode that.
Yeah, you call an episode that.
Yeah. No, I think you're going to have a lot of fun on it. I love cruises. We just booked ours, not a themed one, but it's going to be in October.
Oh, fun. There, so. Yeah. Even when I'm more, I keep calling myself a dirty casual when it comes to Star Trek. I like Star Trek. I like all the shows. I've been watching Picard. I like the movies. I don't I can't quote episode numbers and things like that. And speak to see, I don't know all of the, I don't even know who all the actors and actresses are that are going, but I like it enough that I'm like, you know what? I'm approaching it more like it's a floating Dragon Con in a sense. Maybe it's just Trek, but even Trek, I go in their room and I'm like, these are my people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there actually are floating geek cons and stuff where it's, they call it kind of like Dragon Con at sea and stuff like that. There was actually a video game convention, and I think I can't remember what it was called, but it was a video game convention that had one day in a convention center in Miami. And they kind of had an exhibit floor there, and then it was on a cruise ship. And so they took some of the booths on the cruise ship, and then were on the cruise ship, and there were panels and stuff on the cruise ship.
I know Joko, Oh, Jonathan Colton always does a cruise. Like, that's a big one of the big geek cruises. And then there's Ingress. You know, the folks there, they kind of have like an unofficial, but they call it Ingress Mission Day at Sea. And it's just all about going to these countries by boat and hacking portals in the middle of nowhere. Yep. So there are video game related cruises. Yes. Not probably not super common, but it's there.
I just have had I'm on a boat going over and over in my head the entire time y'all have been talking about this.
All right. If I don't get a shot of me on the boat with video to that song, then I will have completely failed at something.
You have to be wearing your flippy floppies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what? You need a Afghan.
And then we just need like a video of Loki making copies at work while you're on the boat.
Mm-hmm. I need what would be since you're a cruiser and I'm more of a cruise noob. What would be like your biggest piece of advice to me going on this cruise?
Sunscreen.
Suddenly it's 1999 all over again at high school graduations. Wear sunscreen, if you remember that song.
I do, but also zinc lozenges, according to another friend of mine.
Okay,
yeah,
works. I bought the little bands that do the acupressure for seasickness, just in case. But I figure, because I remember when I was 7 and I did go on a cruise in the 80s. I don't remember it very well, but I remember getting seasick when I was 7. But I imagine just the advances in technology.
Yeah, I was going to say cruise ships have come a long way.
Computers probably do all the stabilizing. Yes. I probably won't even feel it.
The last boat I was on was a riverboat.
A riverboat. Oh, yeah, the riverboat cruise at Disney. I have done that.
No, I went on the Delta King. Had bougie drinks served by one of my ex-coworkers.
Forgot about that.
I actually do have a real piece of advice for you.
Okay.
Because this is the tip, and I've learned this from my brother who was a bartender, so he's the one you met, is what you need to do is the first day you get on the boat, you need to figure out which of the 30 bars on the boat is going to be your home bar. You need to feel like you look at the map and you figure it out. And on that first day, when you order your drink, because obviously you're going to order a drink, you need to put a $20 bill in there. Don't write it as a tip on the card because it's going to get charged to your room card. But you give a $20 tip on the first day. That bartender will remember you for the rest of the week. You will be taken care of. Every once in a while, if you get drinks from that bartender later on in the cruise, they may not show up on the bill. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's very smart because the husband doesn't drink at all. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get the drink package.
Yes,
so if I do decide to drink, well, we got like a coffee drink package because Hubbers and I are huge like coffee fiends and we will make that coffee package worth it. Mm-hmm. So I'll be ordering any drink that I get a la carte. So that is excellent advice.
So it has to be the cash though. Don't put it on the room because the cash they can use in different ports and stuff. And so that's
it's a queen.
And I already know what bar. There's a designated bar that's going to have a Rainbow Family meetup every day from 5 to 6. I already know.
So that's the one, and you butter them up and maybe have another one ready like midway through the week if they're taking really good care of you. Slip them another one, and then you'll like have a little bit more alcohol in the drinks.
Okay. All right.
So that's my real
tip. That's a great idea.
So what's coming up tonight on OLR?
All right. Well, we're going to try to recap some of the things we missed last week, but we'll get into some of the news this week. Obviously, you've talked about some of the big things with some of the things going on at conventions. Some of the things I don't think you talked about that we'll get into, the Animal Crossing Nintendo Direct. You know, a Dark Sakura, a huge fan of Animal Crossing. We'll talk a little bit about what you...
I'm playing right now.
Yeah, not the new one, but the phone one. But still, we'll talk a little bit about that and what you saw during the Direct. Xbox version of StarCraft Ghost, a game that long, was canceled, suddenly kind of back in the eye as a version of that was found and people are playing that. So that's pretty cool. And in kind of one of those, it's not directly about gaming, but it's gaming in the real world type of things. We're going to talk about how the Army has utilized gaming as a recruitment for to kind of break some records in some ways. So,
ooh, America's Army's coming back? No?
We'll stay tuned to find out.
Orzons Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby Blackwolf. We'll see you again in 3 weeks, and look forward to that.
Which means I'll already have hit my 700th episode by then.
Oh my God! Well, happy yes. pre-700.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/frognetwork. All alone, episode 699, which I guess is nice plus nine. I don't know. I will be back then. Come join me, since I will be all by myself here on the VOG Network Twitch channel for 2 weeks. Come say hi. Be a part of the show. If you want to leave a voicemail on any topic, you can leave a bumper if you're using the show. Email me an MP3 or link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. Instagram, Bobby Blackwolf. I don't post on Instagram that much. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So remember when I said at the beginning there was a hype train? Well, we had a whole bunch of resubscriptions go on right at the top of the show. It was a little distracting for me, but it's a good kind of distracting. So we start off with Tiger Claw resubscribing for his 13th month. Act Deft resubscribed for 14 months. Twitch math is a little weird. I'm sure they both subscribed at the same time, but Twitch math is weird. It's his Vogiversary. Rob Roberts resubscribed for 13 months in a row. He's just clearing that message is what he said. Pele resubscribed for 13 months in a row. Dark Tetsuya cheered 5 bits because we were trying to keep the hype train going on Twitch or whatever. Rob Roberts gifted a sub to Phoenix7726. Thanks so much for that, Rob. SJWard on a mat cheered 100 price points because I hate that term from earlier. So we got 100 bits from SJWard on a mat. Orange Wright resubscribed for 14 months in a row, and Pod Culture has resubscribed for 11 months. So thank you so much for all the resubscriptions tonight. That was fun to read all those. I am going to head out. And we're going to let OLR take it on for their last show for the next 3 weeks. But enjoy. Enjoy the show and enjoy the cruise. Take care, y'all. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.